This episode of Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by membership patches for groups that nobody has ever heard of. Instead, it's brought to you by CrimeCon! That's right, ladies and gentlemen. CrimeCon is happening again this year. It's on May 4th through 6th, 2018 in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be there, along with a whole bunch of other podcasters and really cool famous people. I'm going to let you go out to the list and look for yourself, but you know you want to go. So if you use the promo code SIDEWAYS, you'll get 10% off. So go register and we will see you in Nashville, boys and girls.
Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I'm Devin, joined as usual by
Joe
and Steve.
And today we're going to talk about a mystery.
Ooh.
I know that's different from what we normally do.
Yeah.
Well, I did this good, you know, recipe we could talk about instead if you wanted.
Yeah, a cooking show.
Yeah.
We should be a travelogue.
Yeah. We should.
The neighborhoods of Portland.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about a mystery we're calling the Persian Princess. And before we get too far into it, I do want to thank Hayden for the suggestion of this mystery. We're going to talk about, I mean, it may seem kind of boring, this Persian princess thing,
yeah,
but actually, it has a fun twist ending, kind of. And yeah. an attempt, like a really, really bad attempt at a quick overview of the case that you may have already read, because it's also our episode description. In October 2000, a video surfaced in which a man claimed to have the mummified remains of a Persian princess for sale. The investigation that followed revealed not only that the mummy might be a forgery, but also that there might be a murder in the mix, which is the fun twist ending.
Da, da, da.
There was a dead body in the middle of that mummy, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, there usually is.
I was going to say, that's typically how it works.
It's usually how it works, though. Yeah, most
often.
Okay, ready?
Indeed.
Okay. So on October 19th, 2000, a Pakistani man named Ali Akbar made a video showcasing a mummy in a gilded sarcophagus that he said he was selling for 6 million rupees, which at the time was about $11 million, which is about $16 million now, which I know is a huge difference.
That's a big jump in the 17 short years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know, sarcophagus is a fancy coffin.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody knows.
Yeah.
True. Although, actually, sometimes a sarcophagus is the it's like the exterior. You know,
it is. It's the exterior.
It's like the super coffin they put the coffin into.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the fancy thing they put
It's the coffin
into.
Nesting doll.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah. While this interested some people, to be sure, other people thought maybe this was illegal and in violation of the antiquity laws.
It's probably illegal no matter how you cut it. It's either fraud, which is illegal, or it's, you know, a valuable artifact, which
is also illegal.
Yeah.
Either way, the police decided that it was a good idea to go question Akbar. When they did, he said he wasn't in actual physical possession. Instead, he was acting as like a go-between, a middleman. When the police did actually go to question him, he said that he wasn't actually in physical possession of the mummy and sarcophagus and coffin and all that stuff. Instead, it was kept at the house of a tribal leader.
Wali Muhammad Riki?
Yeah, thank you.
In Quran.
Thank you.
Baluchistan?
Yeah, Baluchistan.
Yeah.
I just want to do that all on your own now?
Yeah. Nope, I don't. Okay. I just want to keep going.
Right.
I'm really good at pronouncing some things, and I looked up a lot of stuff, and then now I'm realizing I didn't look all of it up, so sorry, everyone.
No, it's okay.
But this tribal leader lived kind of near the border of Afghanistan, so police go to question Riki, and he tells them the mummy was a gift.
Of course it was.
Yeah. He says the man he had gotten it from was an Iranian who said that he had found it after an earthquake in or near Quetta.
Yeah.
Both Akbar and Riki were charged with violations of the antiquity rules and were sentenced to 10 years in jail. And that's pretty much the end of their involvement in the story, kind of.
Mostly.
Mm. Mostly. By name, at least. A week later, the mummy was making waves, and an archaeologist, Ahmad Hassan Dani of Islamabad's Qaid-e-Azam University. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Yeah, not even a closely our third language.
No, so we're sorry. Yeah. Said that the mummy seemed to be a princess, probably from about 600 BCE, which is BC.
Before
Common Era, if we're going to use the sciencey terms. The mummy was wrapped in an ancient Egyptian style and rested in a gilded wooden coffin with cuneiform carvings inside of a stone sarcophagus.
Cuneiform. Sounds like the real deal to me.
Well, maybe. Kind of. Wow. Cuneiform is one of the earliest systems of writing, for those of you who don't know. It was invented by the Sumerians, and they made it with this. They had these little blunt wedge
like reeds.
Reeds. They were basically like little triangles at the end.
You split a reed into quarters.
Mm-hmm. And then you would just push it in a different sets of, you know, shapes. But they were all this like weird little triangle-y.
People who don't know what this is probably actually seen it in movies, because it's always like two or three arrows at a time pointing in a direction, and they kind of rotate around. Like it'll be three in a row, stacked on top of each other, and then arrows rotate. But people have seen it in a lot of Hollywood stuff.
And what you're describing as a arrow, I would describe as a triangle.
Right. Oh, it's arrowhead.
Yeah. Triangle kind. It's pretty
same difference, but people have seen it. Hollywood loves to use it to make it look things look old.
Well, because it's old.
Yeah, for a more modern reference, if you remember the Predator movies, that's like Predator, Predator versus Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of writing the Predator did.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of it's Predator writing.
Well, cuneiform.
Right. So the ancient aliens.
Well, they probably gave it to us, dude.
Yeah. So cuneiform itself actually just means wedge shaped. So it is that kind of wedge triangle shaped anyway. Anyway, that was a little thing. The wooden coffin had a farivar carved in it, which kind of looks like a guy in the middle of a giant wingspan. It looks super
like an
Egyptian.
Eagle, kind of an eagle symbol, right?
Kind
of.
Yeah. There is a guy standing in the middle of, like, just imagine a giant Egyptian wingspan. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But instead of, like, a head of an animal or something, it's just a guy standing there.
It's a normal human.
Yeah, facing sideways. This was a symbol of Zoroastrianism, which is a pre-Islamic Persian religion. You sometimes see it in Iran still, but it's not really religious anymore. It's been taken over by a secular meaning.
Yeah, it's kind of more of just a national symbol these
days.
Yeah,
more of like Iranian
I think it's still
pride.
Popular there, but yeah.
Yeah. As mentioned, there was a gold chest plate that was written in cuneiform. She had a gold crown and mask on her face, the mummy. There was also a chest, like there was a weird leaf pattern almost that was also in gold that was on kind of her chest area as well, which you don't see referenced a lot, but you can see in the pictures.
Sounds like a pricey little mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The body was laid on a mat that was covered in honey and wax, which is kind of typical of mummies.
Okay.
The inscription was translated to say that she was the basically unknown daughter of King Xerxes I of Persia, named Radugna. And she was a member of the Achaemenid dynasty. Actually, like, basically verbatim, it read, "I am the daughter of the great King Xerxes. Mazarika, protect me. I am Radugna. I am."
So one thing I want to point out about this mummy, because I immediately did not understand what she looked like. I had a preconceived notion based on stuff that I see on TV. It's not the dry wrapped mummy. Like, she's encased in the resin and the honey and the wax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is fully inside of this stuff. It's not your typical dry mummy that stands up and walks around on Halloween kind of look.
Right. And that's really what mummies were like. And then once you get through that, then you do get to that drier kind of wrapping, although it's, you know, soaked in resin and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So taking the outer shell off.
But essentially they're kind of like cast in resin or something, right? They're like a paperweight.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah,
yeah,
actually.
Like that.
And then they push and that's kind of how they keep the gold. I'm sorry. I'm trying really hard not to cover my face as I'm talking about the mask. but the gold crown and the mask is kind of, you know, it's laid on top of her, and then there's resin poured on top of that, so it stays in place.
Sort of sealed in.
Yeah, it's all kind of sealed in.
baked in, maybe?
I think sealed. I think this kind of resin is not like a...
Requires heat.
Curing resin. I think it just kind of, you know...
Yeah, I've never dealt with it, so I have
It's
no
like
idea.
Honey. You know how honey just...
It's sticky. Oh, and then it kind of hardens after a while and it loses the tackiness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you know, there's probably some like... You know, some sort of new age funeral home here in town that actually does mummification. So we should probably call them.
If there isn't, the millennials will make it happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, like artisanal mummification or something like that. I'm sure there's going to be a little place opening up very soon here in town.
Artisanal.
Yeah.
That's
an
interesting pronunciation. That's a different way than
Instead
I pronounce
artisanal?
That word.
Artisanal? Yeah. Or artisanal? Or yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds more artisanal.
Yeah. I pulled the word up suddenly and had no time to prepare myself for pronunciation.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I guess I can give
we'll
you
give you a pass on this one.
Yeah, okay.
Because you've gotten everything else right so far. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So this whole inscription thing kind of puzzled archaeologists. Actually, the whole thing puzzled archaeologists, and this is why this was such a big deal as well. So it's like puzzling and a huge deal, because she was found in Persia. But as far as anybody knew,
Xerxes I was son of Darius, Persians.
He was a Persian.
Yeah, he was
Persian kings, right? Yeah.
Right. So it's all Persian this, Persian that.
Yeah.
But the reason, I guess that's probably worth bringing up. The reason that this was so startling and so big was, as far as anybody knew at that time, mummification was really just only practiced by Egyptians in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They thought maybe she was had married a Persian prince and she was Egyptian, and that they had sent, you know,
honored her tradition or something when she died.
Well, or that when she was married off, that they had sent, you know, there was some knowledge of this sort of when an Egyptian
So they sent
princess.
Some documentation along for...
Well, that they would know that they would send also, like, you know, they would send the Egyptian scholars, and they would send, you know, jewelry and stuff like that.
They would send a party with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Her royal party would come with her, and therefore they would retain the knowledge.
Right. And so then there was... Well, they wouldn't. There were people who only did mummification.
Oh, that's
but
true.
That they would have maybe sent a couple of them as well, so that when she did die... She could be, you know, buried in the proper way. Her body could be prepared for the afterlife in the appropriate way.
Okay. Makes sense. So she was a princess. The rest of us, we get thrown into a hole. But she's got a special team that's just like all on that one issue.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Princess one is down, wrap, stacked.
Yeah. I mean, really. Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, it's not as though just anybody knew how to mummify a body.
No,
right?
I couldn't do it.
I mean, well, we could probably figure it out because the internet
sure YouTube,
exists,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But, you know, in those times particularly, if she was Persian, it meant either that she had come from Egypt and some people had come from Egypt to take care of her body when she died, or... The Persians actually had a history of mummification that nobody knew about before, and this was like a huge breakthrough in understanding.
Like this, I don't think cultures. As far as like a lot of these ancient Persian royalty, I don't think they found their tombs, have they? I think they're all, so, you know, it could be that they were all busy mummifying themselves, and then we just don't know.
We just don't know. We haven't found them yet.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, and actually that, of course, means that... A couple other people said, no, actually, you know what? I think we own the rights to that mummy.
This Persian princess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, where it was discovered.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, where it was, you know, that particular patch of real estate is close to Iran, Afghanistan, and in Pakistan. So it's like, you know, probably that piece of real estate has been part of those all three of those countries.
At some point,
At some point, yeah.
So Iran, Pakistan, and actually the Taliban.
Oh, those guys.
Them? Yeah. They all made claims that they were actually the rightful owners of this mummy. Eventually, Pakistan won out, and they placed the Persian princess as Princess Radugana in the National Museum of Pakistan on display as a, you know, cultural heritage thing. Whoops.
I'm kind of curious about what the Taliban wanted to do with the mummy. Because remember, they're not too keen on
I know
artifacts.
What they wanted to do with it, but we'll talk about that later.
You think? Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. So? Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so you may have heard us go, whoops. Why whoops? Well, so it turns out during this whole hullabaloo, an American archaeologist named Oscar White Muscarella, who is an expert in Persian antiquities, came forward He said that he had actually also been approached about a year prior by a different middleman in 2000, right? So right as the discovery of this thing was kind of being made public.
Yeah, I think the guy sent him like some Polaroids.
He sent some Polaroids, and he said he immediately had some doubts about the mummy's authenticity, mostly tied up to where the mummy was found and also the translation of the breastplate. He said that it seemed kind of familiar, and it was taken like almost word for word, maybe. This is where the reporting gets a little weird, because I've seen this statement where he says it was taken word from word from this other thing, and then I've seen other statements that say actually it was made by somebody who was totally illiterate in the Persian language, and it's like riddled with mistakes. So I'm not really totally sure, but there was something really off about the chest plate. It might have been taken from this pretty famous inscription called the Behistun inscription, which is probably not how you pronounce that word.
Probably not.
Which is a multilingual inscription that can serve as kind of a Rosetta Stone, but for cuneiform instead of hieroglyphs. It's three different languages all in cuneiform. It's Old Persian, Emilet, and Babylonian. The original carving of that inscription is pretty big. It's like 50 feet high by 82 feet wide, which is 15 meters and 25 meters respectively. And it was like 320 feet off the ground, which
obviously
is 100 meters.
Meant to be read from far away, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's big. It's like it's a billboard. Yeah. It's like the first billboard.
It is.
It's like the Hollywood sign, you know?
It is. Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. And actually what the story is that it was carved during the reign of Darius, who's Xerxes I's father.
Yeah.
So would have, I guess, been the grandfather of Radugna, the Persian princess.
Yeah, the Persian princess, yeah.
It's a World Heritage Site. Yeah, it's a World Heritage Site, etc. Anyway, the American archaeologist said that he didn't think the mummy was more than 100 years old, and it was probably, like, modern. So the dealer, being kind of a smart aleck, was like, okay, sure, yeah, I'll send you part of the coffin, just like a little sliver of the wood from the coffin, and then you can carbon date that, and that will prove that this is authentic. And then,
and I can go, face sucker.
Well, or, you know, then you'll obviously be interested in buying it because it's this like huge antiquity, even though, again, it's kind of like, it's super illegal and you would think an archaeologist would know that, but whatever.
Yeah. You're not supposed to be like, you know, carving a chunk off the coffin, really.
No. So, he did send a small piece of the coffin and it did get carbon dated. The carbon dating came back, on the coffin, and that was about 250 years old in reality.
Well,
the dealer's
old
representative counter-argued that that could hardly be considered modern.
Well,
so,
we're just splitting hairs at this point.
So he should still be interested in buying this antiquity.
It's still old, dude.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So Muscarella, who by now was almost certain that this whole mummy thing was a total forgery, alerted the FBI, and clearly they did not take any action on that. And
it's out of their jurisdiction. They don't care.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say, you know, again, as we know, carbon dating really only says that's when the tree was cut down. So for all we know, the coffin could have been made.
Yeah.
Maybe more recently than
it
that.
It could have been like, you know, salvaged wood. Maybe they, you know, somebody tore a barn down.
It's possible. It's totally possible.
Barn down and they made a coffin out of it.
Yeah. Even later, Ahmed Dani, who was the director of the Institute of Asian Civilizations in Islamabad at the time, inspected the mummy because he was also kind of suspicious of this mummy. Again, you know, I think a lot of people were like, this is a really cool discovery. We're learning new things about ancient civilizations. But at the same time, a lot of people were super suspicious of it because
people fake stuff all the time.
It turns out, actually, that this was a big thing, was faking mummies.
Well, yeah, it was. It was a big sport back a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, you know. It must be disappointing to come across this. I mean, there's some initial excitement, and then bam, you know, it all gets taken away.
Yeah. But so when the mummy itself was examined, it seemed like the body was much younger than even the coffin surrounding it. He noticed that the mat below the body, it's kind of like, it's like up the walls of the coffin and then below the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a protective thing. Was really, seemed to only be about 5 years old.
it still had a Walmart tag on
it. Yeah, it did. Exactly. He alerted Asma Ibrahim, who was the curator at the National Museum in Pakistan where the mummy was being displayed. Ibrahim took a closer look at the mummy on display and did find that the inscription was maybe not an exact copy that we had thought before. Like I said, this is where they realized there were a ton of grammatical errors in the cuneiform inscription. Yeah, so like I said, it had like a bunch of grammatic errors. It's like somebody looked at a picture of it and thought, oh yeah, I can do that.
Probably from a movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another funny thing about it is that they took a close look at the carvings that were in the coffin. They noticed that somebody had actually made guide marks with a lead pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's prior to the carving, and they forgot to erase them or whatever, or remove them after it was all done.
Yeah. So anyway, it seems like maybe that was not... Maybe it's not real. And the final kind of nail in the proverbial coffin was that it actually turned out that the name that was being used was a wrong version of the name. Radugana, it turns out, is actually the Greek form of the Persian name. It's a slightly different spelling, which the pronunciation is the same, so I'm not going to try to relay. But Radugana is spelled R-H-O, and then the actual Persian version of it is spelled W-A-R. So, obviously, that's not right.
Somebody, you know, really didn't do his research here.
Yeah. Ibrahim spent some time investigating the body, including having an X-ray and CT scanned. In April of 2001, and stated that actually it was not a mummy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I mean, it's, in a sense, it was a mummy. It just wasn't a, you know, I guess, you know, a dead body was wrapped up in a mummy-ish sort of way. So I guess it was kind of a mummy.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's
just not an ancient mummy.
No, yeah. Not really that old at all.
So bad papers.
Yeah. So we're going to do a thing where we, like, leave you hanging for a second, and then we're going to talk about theories.
Yeah.
But first, let's take a break.
Bow wow. Bow wow wow. Bow wow wow yippee yo. Bow wow wow yippee yo yippee yay. What did I just say? Well, if you speak D-O-double-G, then you know that I said something super exciting, and soon you'll be chasing the mail carrier down the street. In a happy way, not that angry ears back kind of way. Why? Well, because your human has finally figured out how to get awesome pup stuff delivered straight to your doghouse. Are you as a human looking for a way to treat your pup? Well, you should try BarkBox, a monthly delivery of the best paw-picked all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. Every BarkBox ships free within the continental U.S., and it's a great way to try a variety of USA/Canada-made treats and unique toys from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Plus, each box is centered around a different theme, like Country Fair, Barkball, Poo York City, a Brooklyn hipster, to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. And when your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com, the BarkBox app, or by texting BarkBox. But if for some reason your dog doesn't like something in the box, BarkBox will send you something they will love free, because they're all about dog happiness. Don't have a dog of your own, like me? Well, then there's a great way to give a friend or a family member a gift for their dog. Maybe for my neighbors who have unhappy dogs. Give the gift that keeps on giving with a BarkBox subscription box. Their furry friend is sure to thank you. Visit BarkBox.com/sideways for a free extra month of BarkBox when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan. That's BarkBox.com/sideways for a free extra month only when you subscribe to the 6 or 12 months plan. So go visit BarkBox, because this Snoop ain't lying.
Cliffhanger over. Theories. Ready?
Cool. All right.
Theory number one.
It's real.
She really was a Persian princess.
Yeah. Exactly.
Daughter of Xerxes. And this was real mummy.
Yeah. Although that kind of, if she was indeed the daughter of Xerxes, and that kind of dashes the whole, she was an Egyptian princess who married a Persian prince.
Yeah.
You know.
Agreed. I mean,
it kind of dashes that whole thing.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know, maybe the ancient Persians did do the mummification
thing. For all we know. Yeah. And that would explain some stuff we're going to talk about in a little bit. But
overall hard fail?
Yeah. Overall, this is not really a theory at all.
Well, it is, just not a good one.
Yeah. So the next theory is one we're going to do a bunch of sub-theories on, and that is that it was a woman who was murdered.
Mm-hmm. But not a princess.
So basically, how was the body acquired is what this is all revolving around?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I guess really what this, like, overarching theory should be is that it was a fraud mummy. And that the body that was in there was the body of a murder victim of some kind.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly did it happen?
Yeah. So you might have noticed that I was holding back some information. We did a little cliffhanger.
You did?
Just a couple minutes ago. Probably less than a couple minutes ago after editing, but that's okay. Let's just talk about the CT scans. We talked about that a minute ago. We said that Ibrahim had X-rays and CT scans done of the body of the mummy. Oh. So they found some stuff. Surprise. It turns out that the mummy, the body, was actually the body of a woman who had probably died in 1996.
Yeah, they were able to, like, carbon date the teeth or something like that.
Yeah, ancient after all, it turns out. She had been really small, about 4 feet 7 inches. Which I didn't bother to translate into meters or whatever it is that you guys use. So.
No, they can look it up.
Yeah.
But that is very small, but probably for ancient times, probably not remarkably small.
For ancient times, no, but for 1996, it's pretty small.
It is.
They also decided that, or they were able to see that the body was of a woman who was no older than 21, but they do refer to her as a woman. I've never seen it referred to as a girl or a teen. Or even a young woman, but she was a young woman. So I'm going to make the presumption that she was older than 18.
Mm, yeah, okay.
18, but so she was a young,
21. Yeah.
Young woman who was very small. Her skin and hair had been bleached, and they had been treated with things like bicarbonate of soda and sodium chloride, which are both drying agents. And worth noting, they are modern drying agents.
Yeah, they didn't exist back in the day.
Yeah.
No, and they stuffed her body full of that stuff to suck all of the moisture out.
They did. Actually, the autopsy found that she had died from blunt force trauma of the spine, but it was really hard to tell if it was intentional or accidental. They likened it to kind of what it would look like if you'd been hit by a car. Mm-hmm. And died from a spinal injury. So I guess by definition, she was murdered, technically.
Maybe. She died in a car wreck or a car run over by a car or something like that.
Lots of murder. I mean, getting run over by a car, intentional or not, is still technically murder.
Well, you know, if you do the right thing and call the police and file an accident report, I guess it's an accident. But if you just grab the body and mummify it, maybe that's kind of...
Kind of more murdery.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, like, even an accidental murder is a murder of a kind, right? Yeah,
manslaughter kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of. That's technically a murder. It's just a really accidental kind of murder.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the other option here is that she might have, like, fallen just right on a fence or something like that, but that seems really unlikely to me. So, first sub-theory is that she could have been murdered for her organs. That's a thing that happens sometimes.
Yeah,
it does. Not frequently, I don't think, but sometimes.
You listen to the internet, it happens all the time.
Constantly.
A lot of people waking up in bathtubs filled with ice.
Yeah, with a weird side pain.
Yeah.
Did I forget to mention that all of her organs were missing, by the way?
Yeah.
Because they
you
were.
Did.
All of them. I didn't forget. I intentionally
you did that
didn't.
On purpose.
I did. You're right. Sorry. I was being coy. It's fine. This could have been the case of, you know, somebody killing her for her organs. You know, a blunt force trauma to the spine could have been intentional or not, again, but they could have thought, oh, let's take all of her organs. Because even her heart was missing. And this was a mistake maybe on the part of the people who were doing it, or it was all of her organs were being taken to be sold on the black market.
And then they repurposed the body for mummification fakery.
Yeah.
Because the Egyptians left the heart in.
Well, Egyptians left the heart in, but one thing that people kind of thought was that it's possible that her body had been grave robbed.
Right.
And that's how somebody came about her body versus, you know, murdered for necessarily the forgery or anything like that. So it's possible she was murdered for her organs. They were all removed and then she was buried, and then later she had the additional misfortune of being dug up and made into a mummy.
Or, and I don't know how much this happens. I mean, you can be an organ donor over here in America. I assume they have similar things in other countries, and so maybe she had died of some cause or another, and her organs were harvested for, you know, to be given to other people, and then they sent her off to the morgue where she was morgue robbed instead of grave robbed. I mean, her body could have been nabbed in all kinds of places.
True. It's certainly possible that that could have happened. I don't think they usually take all the organs. Like,
no, they don't.
They wouldn't take her intestines, for instance, right? Yeah. Like, that would have been a thing they would have left in there, because, like,
I've never heard of an intestinal transplant.
I haven't either.
That seemed like that would be kind of
seems like maybe not the
unwieldy.
Right thing.
How do you get them packed in there just right?
I don't know. Sure, there are some doctors who know how to
do that.
Well,
the weird thing about taking the organs for harvest or not, as well as the whole packing or full of drying agents, you have to do that stuff almost immediately. I mean, if they are really taking the organs to sell, then they definitely would have had to kill this person.
Yes.
To take them right away while they're brand new, fresh in the package, still working.
Yeah, you gotta, if you don't kill them, you gotta be at least Johnny on the spot.
Exactly. You know, and the same thing with with the drying agents. In order to get the drying agents in there and get the body to actually start, you know, losing all that moisture before it starts to decay and rot and every other things to set in that speed that process along, you also have to be there like immediately.
Yeah.
There's a very small window for that stuff to happen.
So, and I'm not clear on the type of spine injury she had that killed her. I guess it is possible, just totally speculating here, that she could have had one of those like brain dead spine injuries, and that's why she, and so that would mean that somebody could have harvested all of her organs
if she was in a hospital.
I know your body isn't functioning. I understand.
Okay.
The brain runs the body.
Okay.
I'm not a
idiot. On your face, I was like,
but
eh.
No, but that, you know, if they had hit her just right and they realized, like, I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're in the hospital or some other thing. I don't really know how the organ harvesting black market works.
Or not even a black market.
Relatively efficiently, according to the internet.
Apparently,
that's what I hear. Although, you got to wonder, too, though. It looks to me like she probably, from the injuries I've heard described, and I've heard variations from broken pelvis to broken neck all the way up the whole gamut. It sounds to me like she probably was in something like a car wreck.
Yeah, like I think she was probably hit by a car.
Yeah, like a pedestrian hit by a car.
Yeah.
Probably from behind, it looks like. And so you do have to wonder how many of her organs were actually in good enough shape after something like that.
And that's why I...
And
that's why I bring this one up first, because as you guys know, I like to go like dumbest to best. So I would say this is a low probability that she was killed for her organs, but it's still a possibility, I guess, as a theory.
Yeah.
We kind of went on the grave robbing thing again, but
or are we in the next theory?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Let's hop to the next theory. And the next theory
which
is that
what? Accidental?
That she, you know, maybe got hit by a car, totally accidentally died, was buried, and then at a later date was grave robbed, and they took all of her organs out for the forgery. The problem with this, of course, is
all the things we just said.
Yeah, basically all the things we just said. You know, the drying agents would have had to have been applied like way earlier than, you know, she would have showed more signs of decomposition, things like that. This was the most prevalent theory from the investigators. They thought that basically the reason that this is like their ideal theory is because we'll talk about at the end here the really like really sad part of this whole story, but the investigators once they found out that it wasn't a real mummy, just kind of didn't care anymore. So this theory,
I think they did look into it. It wasn't obviously as high profile, but I'm sure they still looked into it as a murder mystery, but probably not too terribly
Not hard. Really that much, it sounds like. Yeah. So this was an ideal theory for them, right? Because it meant they didn't have to really deal with a murder. Right. They didn't really have to find a Jane Doe murder that had been killed for this like huge forgery. They could just say, listen, we got the people who had, you know, done this and they're in jail for 10 years because of the antiquities laws. And that's probably good enough. And they just robbed a grave and, you know, they did the forgery and that's awful, but they didn't really kill anyone. They weren't really hurting anyone. They didn't really get away with it. So they're spending time in jail and everything's fine. So this is obviously an ideal theory for them because they didn't really have to do anything.
But, you know, obviously they could have done something because that's where the trail leads back is to who actually killed this person is these people got the body from somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody. And obviously the police, they probably bribed the police to just, hey, dude, you know, don't make us rat our friends out. We'll get killed.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know, but obviously they could have tracked it back that way.
Yeah. One would think they could have, but it seems like they didn't really care.
Yeah. I wonder the level of difficulty to track it back because based on, oh gosh, I forgot the name of the guy, the American who first saw and figured out it was a forgery.
Oscar Muscarella.
There was at least 6 months, if not almost a year, between when he saw the tape and when the next people got a hold of it. So that means this body,
it was.
I think the same. It was the same seller.
But I'm talking about the time frame between when he saw the film and whoever got them in trouble saw the film.
Time goes by.
This body has been floating around. This mummy has been floating around in their possession for a while.
Yeah.
So that makes the trail even colder because, you know, there's more and more time. People are coming and going. I'm not defending them, but I can see would make it so much harder when it's not brand new, fresh blood on the ground.
Yeah. I'm just sort of presuming that fakes like this, especially the ones that are considered to be, you know, like high level fakes, not just a regular mummy, but a princess, you know, somebody invested some time and then found themselves a buyer. And it was, so this thing actually might have originally been, and that might be part of the reason it was so crudely done, like with the translations and stuff like that. It might have just been meant to be sold to some rich dude as a memento, like, you know, as in, you know, the...
it could have been the tribal guy.
And it could have been never intended to actually fool anybody at the level of a Museum of Antiquities level, you know what I'm saying? And so that guy had it and then either decided he needed the cash more or whatever. And so he sold it. And so I don't think anybody like bought it off somebody like in a bazaar or something like that where they didn't know who it was, even with time going by.
It's actually a really good segue into our next theory. So let's do that. And then I know you guys have a lot you want to talk about with this theory, which is why I saved it for last. And it's the most likely one, I think. It could be that somebody killed her for the forgery.
Yeah.
You know,
she literally fit the bill.
Exactly. Unfortunately, you know, she was small and people from that time were small.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be that she was maybe somebody who was experiencing homelessness, maybe somebody who was a sex worker, maybe somebody who they just knew
some kind of distress.
Mm. Some, you know, somebody that they knew, you know, sadly probably wouldn't be missed.
Yeah, and also you got to find somebody who hasn't had any dental work done. You can't have any modern dental work.
Yeah,
things like that.
Yeah. So I think they probably just found in my mind, the way this goes is somebody found the coffin and sarcophagus, which was a forgery in and of itself, right?
But an older forgery.
But somebody found this older forgery and was like, oh yeah, we could fill that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you know what? Actually, you know, that one lady that we see all the time who's super short, she would fit the bill.
Yeah.
We could do this. And then they just hit her with a car, kills her, and then
baseball bats or something.
Or what, something. They hit her with something, kill her. You know, fine. They remove all her organs. Wrongly remove all of her organs because, again, Egyptian mummies
not
have their
traditionally.
Hearts. Not traditionally.
But yeah.
Dry her out, make a new mat for the coffin, deal with the resin, put the gold on her face, and, you know, put the chest plate. Insane. I mean, it is insane, right? That is insane, but it's not a crazy theory.
No, not at all. I mean, mummy forgeries are really common. And back like 200 years ago in the early 19th century, there was this thing called mummy mania.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Have you heard of mummy mania?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It overtook Europe after Egypt was opened up and suddenly lots of Europeans were traveling to Egypt.
Right.
And all these these rich Europeans were buying mummies to bring home and put it, you know, on display at the family estate and show off to their friends and stuff. And I'm sure just about all of them were forgeries.
Well, this is, and this is why antiquities laws exist now.
Well,
right?
I was gonna say that too. I mean, yeah, should you be buying an authentic one to take home? No.
I mean, the black market for antiquities, whether they're forged or not, the black market is worth so much, to the tune of billions of dollars a year, which you can understand why that would be so enticing to a couple of yahoos who find something and realize that they could spin it from a low-level thing to a higher, low value to a higher value object.
$16 million is a lot of money.
I was talking about when they found just a coffin. And then, oh, hey, if we can stuff a body in that thing, now it's worth even more.
But I agree with Joe
that I think that they... You really have to have some seriously big cojones and skill to think that you can fool somebody at a museum.
Well, what I think kind of happened is somebody just meant it to fool some rich dude who didn't really know anything.
Oh, yeah.
And it was plenty authentic enough looking for that. And then this rich dude, for whatever reason, decided, hey, this is such a perfect copy. I could probably fool somebody else and make myself like $10 million.
Said rich dude, you know, thinks it's actually, actually real and worth a lot of money and finds himself, and finds himself like, you know what, actually, I really want a boat.
Yeah.
I'd want that fancy yacht. What do I have that I could sell that I don't really care about? Oh, yeah, I have that mummy in the basement. Yeah. I'll sell that.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of that anyway. It's hard to keep it clean. It's always.
It's been just collecting dust.
Things collect so much dust.
The cat keeps using it for a scratching post. Yeah.
I mean, I almost also wonder if what happened is they found the coffin, the sarcophagus, as far as I know, they never dated the chest plate and all the other gold accoutrements. Mm. It's possible in my mind they found a really old forgery that had not, the mummy itself had not withstood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they find all this stuff, and for all they know, it's authentic, except for the mummy looks bad. They don't know. They're not the dummies who did like a weird, dumb translation on the chest. They don't know anything.
Mummy dummy.
Yeah. Wow. Right. I mean, they don't know anything. They're just like, we just need a body to fill this. And then we've got ourselves an authentic mummy in a coffin, in a sarcophagus that we can sell for a ton of money.
Yeah.
They might have honest to God thought that everything else about it was authentic, except because the coffin comes from that time when mummy fever was happening.
Yeah.
When all these forgeries were going around.
Yeah, and...
Which would explain why the guy sent over the sliver of the coffin, like, go ahead and carbonate this, jackass.
Yeah, he thought it really was that.
I mean,
old,
he could
maybe.
Really yeah. could have just thought. They could have been so dumb. I think, frankly, if I found something like that, I would think it was real. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know any better.
I think this guy, it might be that the guy that actually owned it picked himself a really stupid agent to market it. Probably intended for him to go find himself a private collector to pay big money for this. And this bozo starts showing it around to actually well-connected people. And it actually got publicized and came to the attention of the authorities and stuff. And so
he probably just Googled Persian antique collectors, and like a bunch of educated people came up, and he was like, cool, these are the collectors. I'll reach out to them.
Yeah, he just did a Google. Yeah. I know, it could be.
I guess at that point it was probably like an Ask Jeeves or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I find it really funny that the Taliban in the beginning were trying to flex their muscle to say that they owned it because of course they were. What I find so ironic about that is, you know, that they're pretending that they're trying to protect a national treasure, but no,
they are the biggest
bandits. They've been selling off so much history for so long in that part of the world fund their operations
and also destroying it. You know, they sort of hewed to this idea that nothing predates our wonderful Islamic Republic. And so, like, you know, like, remember those giant ancient Buddhas up in the mountains?
Oh, yeah, they blew those up.
That they destroyed?
Yeah.
Because
a big part of this is, if you have been paying attention, you know, there's a gold crown. Mm-hmm. There's gold mask. There's a gold chest plate.
Yeah.
There's another gold weird chest plate thing.
That's true. There's
money there.
There's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm assuming the people who did the forgeries weren't dumb enough to just use something that was plated. I assume they used solid gold.
I would guess.
Which, when you think about it, is it kind of an investment?
It is, but if you're going to sell it for, you know, $16 million, it's still worthwhile.
Yeah.
But I do kind of think it was... you know, they didn't actually do any of the forgery except for the body, in my mind, you know.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I just know how much of that part of the world is being dug up constantly and sold off. Have you read any of those articles about how they're using satellite technology and they're overlaying images from different times to then be able to tell where and when people are digging stuff up?
Yeah. Because they're doing it illegally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, constantly. Yeah. But like entire ancient graveyards are being looted.
Yeah.
And from the sky, they're like, oh, look, it looks like the site of a golf ball. You know, it's just pockmarks. Just divot. Just guys out there just digging holes.
Yeah. It's so sad, you know. But there were some really fun, if you guys want to hear stories of other fake fun mummy stories.
Let's have one.
Yeah. Like the most recent one was in 2015, the Vatican finally decided to check on, do a little research on their collection of mummies.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had two of them that were basically child-sized, one that turned out to be complete fakes. And they'd had them for a long time.
How complete fakes? Just newer? They had no human body in them?
They didn't even
have
humans in it. I think they had animal bones.
And, oh, God.
And then, well, there was just another famous case was in New Jersey. This is like on display at like the Hackensack Library. It had been donated like in the 1920s or something to the city, and it had been on display. And then suddenly, after about three decades, it was discovered that it was all just rags. I mean, it was just like, you know, a mummy, just rags all shaped to look like a human body, all wrapped in... Yeah.
like when you were a kid and you'd make the pillows under your blankets so that it looked like the shape of you sleeping, kind of?
Yeah, yeah. And there was another famous one that was like a huge attraction in Mississippi. It was like on display at the Mississippi State Capitol from like the 1920s to 1969, I think, when they finally took a closer look at it and then did some x-rays. And discovered that what they thought was a body inside there was just like paper mache and a wooden frame held together with nails.
You guys,
I have a couple of animal ribs all wrapped up.
I have a new venture for us.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
eBay.
And yeah, making fake
sponsorship stuff.
Yeah, this is what we're going to do from now on.
Uh-huh.
So just one final thing before we end this story.
Yeah.
And it's just really sad to me. It's worth noting that a few people in the agencies investing the whole discovery of the mummy got these really big promotions based on the discovery and return to the rightful owners. These are all air quotes. I'm doing wild air quoting in here. But once it was exposed as a murder and forgery, they kept their promotions and also weren't really asked to investigate the origins of the murdered woman.
Well, because, you know, it was good police work.
Yeah, I mean, basically, people really only cared about this case when it was a fancy princess mummy. And on one hand, I understand. But on the other hand, it's kind of like there was a Jane Doe murder out there. Like, some woman was murdered.
It's kind of like Princess Di, who died in a car wreck. Other women of similar age and worthiness get killed in car wrecks all the time. Does anybody know or care?
No,
not a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad to me. But since the coffin and mummy were removed from the National Museum, because of course they were.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was taken to the Eddy Trust, which is now the Eddy Foundation. And it was stored for investigation for 8 years, during which time not a single investigator came to look at it.
Of course not.
But they had to keep it on ice for like 8 years.
They did. They had to keep it in the morgue for 8 years. It took up but it was like sarcophagus, coffin, and body. It took up the space of two bodies, basically. Mm-hmm. And the cost of them storing it was like $7 a day, which doesn't seem like a lot of money until you consider that by the time that they finally got around to being able to bury her, they had spent almost $23,000 on storing
that?
Eight.
And see, why you shouldn't go have one or two Starbucks a day, because that's how much money you're going to spend in a couple of years.
It is.
It does add up. And by the way, in that part of the world, that's probably more than most people make in their entire lives.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And actually what happened is the Eddy Foundation kept saying to the investigators, like, we have this body. Are you, like...
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, it's really expensive for us to store this body, and we're happy to do it as long as you're working towards finding out who she is. Mm. And they kept saying, oh, yeah, we're working.
Yeah, we're all over that. Yeah.
And so finally they said, all right, listen, we're going to bury the body in 4 days unless you tell us not to. And the investigators just never responded. So they finally, in 2009, buried the body, coffin, sarcophagus, everything in a kind of unmarked grave plot. And to me, that's really the saddest part of this mystery is that
kind of
like
a pauper's grave.
Yeah, a woman was murdered.
Probably not so much a pauper's grave. It's just burying it so somebody else doesn't dig it up and put it back on the market.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That might be part of it too. Yeah. But I mean, realistically, that's the saddest part to me is that like a woman was murdered and we have no idea who she was.
Or not even necessarily murdered. She might have just died accidentally. But still, she should have a marked grave. You know, her family should know where
she
grave
what happened,
is.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anyway. That's the downer ending of this kind of otherwise fun mystery.
Jeez, Devin,
way
I
to
didn't
go.
Know that. Sorry. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Good thing we don't release these on Mondays. We'd screw people's entire week up.
I know. Mm. Yeah. Thursdays are bad enough.
Yeah. They're, yeah. It rolls right into Friday, yeah. And then it's Friday.
And then
forget.
They're sad all weekend. Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
We should just not be releasing them anymore.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Let's talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're kidding, guys. Don't worry. Please don't write us angry emails. Are we? I don't know. Let's find out. Anyway.
It'd be a forgery.
Yeah. So if you want to see some of the links to some of the research, you know, hopefully you've already taken time to look up pictures of what this mummy looked like because it's kind of hard to describe.
Yeah.
If you want any of that stuff, you can also find links to our merch sites. Or episode lists to find every single episode we've ever done. I think Steve told me before we started recording that we're at like 240 or something like
official
that.
Official episodes. That doesn't count any of the bonus content.
There's a lot of episodes.
Pieces we've done.
It's a lot of content.
So if you think you have a story you'd like to suggest, check there first.
Yep.
But all of that stuff is at our website, which is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You can find us on social media. We are on Facebook. We've got a group and a page. To join the group, you do have to answer some questions. Just don't forget to do it. They're really easy. And then you can find us on Twitter where we're Thinking Sideways Podcast. We've got a subreddit, which is called Thinking Sideways. And we have an Instagram now.
It's
called
that's right.
Thinking Sideways Podcast, not Thinking Sideways. That's something totally different somehow still. Also, you know where you're listening to us. It might be iTunes, it might be Stitcher, it might be Google Play, it might be Podbean, it might be any other thing that I don't have the energy to list right now. If you haven't already, actually, rather, do subscribe, do leave a comment, and do leave a rating that helps other people find us. And then if you want to talk to us about the Persian mummy, if you want to talk about how bad my pronunciation for every single word I said today was.
You don't need to actually let Devin know. We've already made fun of her a lot.
We all know. Yeah. It's okay. I know already. If you have any anything you want to say to us, feel free to send us an email. That email address is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. And I think that is everything that I need to tell you.
I think it is.
I think it's all the stuff that you guys skip.
There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So another mystery solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Let's talk about another princess. Let's talk about Disney princesses.
Yeah, we can talk about Disney princesses.
Let's talk about princess cruises.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why don't we talk about Disney princess cruises?
Perfect. Okay, what do you guys want to talk about first?